Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And this is the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for the needlework artist type people.
All right.
Tonight on the Stitch Hour, 8 o'clock Eastern on the YouTube channel, Jennifer's mom joins us.
I'm looking forward to this. I mean, think of all the questions we can ask Jennifer's mom about Jennifer.
Yes. Yes. All kinds of questions. I tested with Jennifer and to make sure that the signal and everything was going to work. And she said that they had found a bunch of stuff that her mom had stitched. And so she was getting pictures together. And then her mom has a collection of cross stitch and country arts or whatever that magazine was.
And yeah, I can't remember the name.
Yeah, and then there was some other things that they found that she had. So we got lots to talk about in addition to Jennifer.
Sure to be a fun evening. No one wants to miss that one. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It'll be a great time. So that's 8 o'clock tonight, Eastern Time, YouTube channel, Jennifer's mom. Sunday is Diana Snyder, and we had a great conversation with her. One of the things that she does is she has a program that's related to their local EGA guild called Toys, Teaching Our Youth to Stitch. And so we get to talk about that, and it's a program that they're hoping that guilds and chapters across the country will pick up on to involve kids and get them to expose to needlework. So we talk about that, and they've got a whole plan in place, so you can basically get a kit, and they've got some projects and the whole bit. So it's very cool. Yeah.
That'll be perfect, because I know my local guild is been offered to – we want to teach a homeschool group.
Oh.
We get four sessions, I think, with them, and I'm excited. So something we can teach them. Perfect. I don't have to make up a program.
No, actually, that's exactly what this is for. That's the exact audience. And so you'll want to get Diana. She'll put you. It's a whole package put together. So, yay! There's item one right there. You can put her. Yeah, that's excellent. A whole program. Instructions, projects, the whole shooting match, all put together, and Diana to support. So,
just what I need.
You're all set.
Yeah.
And it's free. You just get the material, and then get your guild members to supply materials, threads, and stuff. But that shouldn't be a problem.
No, it should not. Should not be a problem.
Stash, folks, burn that stash.
Yep.
So that'll be Sunday, Diana Snyder. That's a good one. And then remind everybody that registration is open for the EGA National Seminar. That's August 24 to 28 in New York City. And at the Marriott Marquis, which is right downtown in Times Square. And so you'll be right in the middle of everything. And of course, go to egausa.org. to get the full rundown of programs, some great classes, but you're right in the heart of New York. So Broadway is just, as I recall, you basically can walk to Broadway, to the theaters, so you can go see that. All of it right there. So if you've never been to New York, boy, you can get some needlework in, extend it a couple of days, and enjoy the city and the sights and all of it. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And I think Natalie Dupuy is doing a lecture there, I do believe.
Yes, she is. So yep.
That would be excellent.
Okay. So check it out, egausa.org. Sign up for classes, sign up, even if you don't sign up for classes, to go to the seminar and hang out with the people and see all the evening activities. And stitching the lobbies is, a lot of fun. So, especially you folks that are within driving distance, you can drive down there, drive to the hotel, and spend 4 days being nothing but needlework. Yep. Fun.
Heaven.
Nancy Holub from Cyber Stitchers sent me a letter that Doug Kreinick wrote that they're going to use in the Cyber Stitchers newsletter. And I thought this was, it's terrific because it really explains what suppliers are going through these days. And a lot of people want to believe the pandemic is over, but the damage it did is not going to be over for some time. So this is a letter from Doug Krynick that just describes what just one company is going through and has gone through. So I'll just read this. In spite of major derailments, an ongoing pandemic affecting supply chains and workforce, plastic spool shortage, so it's the plastic shortage and then the spool shortage, computer chip shortage, and labor shortage among a few, we strive daily to improve every level of manufacturing. We're running our braiding machines from 3 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., then a night crew comes in to wind.
I just can't believe that. That just blew my mind. I mean, 3 a.m. to 4:30, that's over a 12-hour.
Right. It's 13 and a half hours of braiding, and then a crew comes in to wind so they can do it again the next day. Ugh. We continue to focus on producing the most popular colors. However, we may have stock of another color your customer needs, so we encourage you to ask. We're working with West Virginia University's Industrial Extension Program to manufacture replacement machine parts. And that's the other thing is we actually did a story in the magazine I edit, the trade magazine I edit a long time ago about Krynick. I sent a writer there to tour them. Their machinery is all old. It's old winding and braiding machinery. And I'm sure they have some newer stuff, but the core of their thing is old machinery, and there are no more parts because the people who made those don't exist anymore. So if something goes down, they have to manufacture parts. So, and you know, those old machines, I mean, if you're running something 12 and a half, 13 hours a day, stuff's going to wear out. So West Virginia University Industrial Extension to manufacture replacement machine parts enabling us to keep our older machines working and make us less dependent on overseas suppliers. The latest improvements include a necessary redesign of our spools. A damaged spool mold created unusable spools, which contributed to our production delays. We ran out of spools, and the spools we had required more hand processing than machine processing. Well, there, you know.
And when I read that, I was like, oh my, I just can't imagine having to hand, you know, they must have done some sort of hand fiddling with each one.
Yep.
And so all the time that took.
Yep.
Terrible.
And, yeah. When you have an automated system and you have to go to manual labor, your expenses go through the roof and productivity drops like a stone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, okay. While we invested in a new spool mold and molds of any kind, I don't care if it's what you're molding, are extremely expensive, even for a spool, because they have to be so precise. There's so much to those things. They're very expensive. We invested in a new spool mold. We redesigned it to be one size and one kind of spool for all thread sizes. The new spool will be similar in size to our larger black spool and feature notches on both ends for securing the thread. The spool manufacturer is located in the U.S. rather than in China, which means faster production and delivery times. Spooling will be automated rather than semi-automatic, and we won't have to stop between batches to reset machines for winding different spool sizes. This means faster processing. The new spool will be flat on both ends, and that means a solid surface for the label, which means labels will stay in place. I think we all can cheer
Hallelujah.
For that.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
The new label will have UPC codes on them, making them things easier for shops to sell singles. So look for the new spools coming out soon, and he'll keep we'll keep you informed, whomever. But that, in a nutshell, is supply chain nightmare for manufacturers right there.
And I was going and I looking at the West Virginia University Industrial Extension Program. My brother-in-law was a die tool cutter. So he made those precision sort of things to make items for machines. If you need a specific part, he was one of those people that did. There's very few people who are doing that anymore. We're not educating people in that area, as I'm sure you know.
Right.
And so I, to get people saying, hey, this is really necessary. We need people to be able to make these parts, to make these things,
Yep.
And I can't imagine all over the industry, not just for Krynek, but any of the thread manufacturers, any of that, the linens, all of that.
Yep. Oh, it doesn't matter. In manufacturing, I was talking to our publisher the other day, and he wants to do some research, and he was wondering what topics were important. And one of the things I wrote to him is that the skills gap, which is a gap between finding enough people with skills, and then you've got people who are baby boomers who are retiring. And mm-hmm. Like I'm 67, and I'm at the young end of the baby boomers, the young end of the baby boomers. I was born in 55. And so most of them retired. Well, that's all your talent. And the young people have not filled that gap. And I wrote to the publisher, I said that, the pandemic has made that gap into a chasm. It's, mm-hmm. It's just, if you have kids who are not really interested in 4-year college degrees, but they all need some kind of schooling, I'm telling you, send them to a 2-year trade school to learn a craft, tool and die, CNC, any robotics, right. Anything like that, and they will have jobs lined up before they graduate. Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know local manufacturing around here, a whole bunch of people retired.
Yep.
My husband and one of them, and all that knowledge walked out the door.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and what do you do?
Yep.
What are you going to do?
Yep.
So, yeah.
No, that's,
necessary.
If you got kids, send them to 2-year schools. If they're not so sure they want to do a 4-year school, 2-year school, it's a lot cheaper. Get a skill, get a job. And then get a skill, get a job, and then get that company to pay for the rest of the schooling if they want a 4-year degree. But, right. A friend of ours from Illinois. He's retired now, same deal. He's retired, but he was, an officer in the largest painter union in the Chicago area. And same problem. They can't get people to be painters. And we're not talking about people who come in and paint your living room. We're talking about people who know how to paint bridges and water towers and know the chemistry and, all the things that go with that. It's not just go down to Lowe's and pick up a couple of gallons and,
right.
Same thing. And they would pay schooling, training, everything, and give them jobs that are union jobs with pensions, health care paid for, the whole shooting match. You just can't find people. Just can't find them. And, get your kids to look at 2-year schools because and you come out of it without any debt, and you have a job that's a good-paying job and, in many cases, right. A better-paying job than a lot of 4-year students get. And and you go to work, and you're making money, and, yeah. It's,
right. And I do have a friend who, that's what he did. He wanted to do electrical engineering, and so he started with some sort of 2-year degree. They paid for him to get his 4-year. And then he went on to get his master's, and now he's working his dream job, working on rockets in Florida.
There we go. Yep. See?
So,
and he was able to bring in money throughout the whole thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely. So it's possible. You can do it.
So, back to Krynek, that's the kind of stuff you look at. And then I thought it was interesting, twice in this letter, he mentions about finding U.S. sources. That's another change that's happening. People are looking for U.S. sources for product. They want more U.S. companies in their supply chain, so they are not reliant on China and Taiwan and Vietnam, anything, and all the delays and all the possible problems. They want it in the States. That people are working toward that. And even if you pay a little bit more, look at them now. They can't put out product because they can't get spools. And somebody who can deliver it and deliver quality stuff, even if it's a little more, at least you're putting out product. So,
right. Yeah, yeah. And we should just expect some of those expenses to rise in our craft because of the, we have to, they're having to make those changes.
Right.
But in the long run, it'll be better across the board, I believe.
Yeah.
Thing we have to get used to.
Yep. So that's that's just a little peek into manufacturing Krynek, and all of us have tried to find a specific color or braid for Krynek, and they're not available, and that's what they've been going through, and obviously right. working to get things straightened out, but it takes time,
and we heard the same thing from Rainbow Gallery too,
right?
Trying to, I think they moved to 3 shifts even. I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, we're talking threads,
right?
Not life-saving drugs.
That's a good point, Beth. 3 shifts for thread making for a hobby? I mean, that's crazy.
It is.
That's crazy, but that's what they're up against. Yep. Mm-hmm. But you'd think 3 shifts, like you said, for medicine or something, for COVID vaccine, run 6 shifts if you can. But for thread? That's what people are having to do to meet the demand. So, so there you have it. That's just a little insight. And so when you get impatient with Krynek and with your needlework store, because they can't get it, that's what Doug Krynek and company are up against. That's what they're battling. And actually, we should try and get him on a show and have him talk about that just so people can appreciate the problems. But, that's tough. That's tough. And you're at the mercy of others to provide what you need, All right, so now I want to talk about the other end of stash. I can't buy enough stuff for my stash to do what I want to do, but you just spent a weekend dealing with the other end, which is when people die or get out of the hobby and what happens with their stash. So we had
an afternoon, and it was, we were just getting rid of stash. It was a stash unload, and we did not price things. It was a free will offering. And the lady who's in charge of the fundraising said, it's just not worth her time to do it. She just can't, because we have had people call us and say, my aunt died and I have all this thread. Can you come pick it up and can you sell it? Or, can you use it for your guild? And we say, of course, we'll come and we'll get it. And it's like, what do you do? And then, so we're just recycling back through our guild. And of course we had the problem with COVID that we couldn't, the church where we meet prefers us not to open that garage sale up to the public. They just don't want a whole lot of people coming through. So we've had stash unloads like that where we have had it open to the public. And one of the big guilds in Iowa is going to have one in June, and it is open to the public. But it seems like we end up recycling a lot of the stash back through the guild. In fact, I know we were talking as I was loading the few boxes that didn't sell. I said, I'm going to see all that stash again in 5 to 10 years. What do you bet?
Yeah.
Maybe some of it'll be done, but I doubt it. I doubt it. It's kind of disheartening. And what do you do? A lot of it is very nice. It's not like it's bad. It's not gone bad. Like the threads aren't ruined or ugly or something you can't stitch with.
Right.
But what do you do? Like, I'm sitting next to a pile of Cruel kits from Elsa Williams, a well-known designer of Cruel. And the patterns themselves, if you don't look at the color, they're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But we just don't do that anymore. We don't do Cruel in the United States anymore. Now, I wonder if I ship this over to England or somewhere, seriously, if it would be like, that would be gold to them. But we just don't do Cruel, at least not here in the Midwest, not very much.
Right.
And what do you do with it? I mean, I hate, I hate to say this, I hate to throw it away because that seems wasteful. It goes against my, I guess my Puritan roots or something. I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, what do you do? What do you do with these projects?
Yeah, and you know, throwing away thread, you know, there's absolutely no reason to do that. It's all usable. It lasts forever. If it's been protected at all, it lasts forever. The colors are usable. You know, there's, you know, it's almost criminal to throw that away because it's all very usable, especially if it's DMC floss that lasts forever. And so somebody has to use it. I think we were commenting just texting back and forth as you were going through that, you know, and I just kind of stepped back and thought, if we look across the entire country, how many homes of needle workers have giant stash collections?
Right.
And, you know, people always comment, I've got more stash than, I'll die before I use it all. And, you know, all that has to be addressed someday. What do you do? And so, you know, I was just trying to cook up, what as a stitcher can you do, one, to help your family? Because, you know, I sit here in this room where, you know, my studio where I've got stash everywhere. And I think I need to put something in writing to help my family when I die so that they aren't just throwing this in the trash or taking it to Goodwill, that it'll go to people who know what it is, or Marga, you know, it could be Marga for all that matters, what to do with all of this stuff so that it just doesn't get trashed.
One thing I'm going to suggest is going through, because I helped the gal who's in charge of the ANG auction. That's where a lot of the stash came from. It was stuff that she says she doesn't want to ship it to Tucson, and she wouldn't be able to sell it there. So the board gave her permission to let my guild have it. It was mainly cross stitch kits, which they don't sell well for them. And she said the hardest thing is when you find something that, you know, maybe someone would buy, but the threads are missing or the stitch guide is missing from the design. So let's say you have a canvas, like I have several canvas that I have line drawings on them for geometric pieces, let's say. I should make sure, and that one time they were together, but I did some rearranging hoping to create more space. But I think I'm going to have to go back and make sure that those canvases and those threads and those instructions are all together.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's, who wants that? Who wants the, you get this line drawing and you're like, okay, what's this? You know, it doesn't mean anything, and it doesn't mean anything to a non-stitcher. So if they're all together, that's helpful.
Yeah.
And again, keeping the threads with your piece, which seems like that's a no-brainer, but we found a lot of pieces where it was so close to being done, but there's no threads with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so then what do you do?
Yeah.
You have to find someone who's willing to take the time to finish that piece where it really is going to be thrown away. You have to be honest about it.
Yeah.
Because who wants to finish something? There's a beautiful piece and it really doesn't need that much more stitching on it, but there's no threads with it, which is so disheartening.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just can't bring myself to throw this beautiful canvas away. But now I have to clip off the back, find someone who can supply those threads or close match.
Yeah.
It's a whole nightmare. And do I really want to take the time to do that? And yeah.
Yeah. When you have a whole stack of your own projects you want to do. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
No, I think it's I think it's an issue now more than we realize, and I think in the next 5 years, it's going to become a major issue for for EGA guilds and ANG chapters, because it's going to happen more and more. And I mean, at some point, I just fear that the pile of of available stash is going to get so high that you know, people in guilds and chapters just say, look, just throw it away. We can't. You know, give our members a chance to take out of it what they can and then throw the rest away. And, you know, that just makes me cringe because that should not happen.
Right. Yeah. And I think we all need, you know, serious look at what we can finish, you know, what we want to, and finish some of these things. I have things that I've stitched and I think, okay, they're just sitting there. I should at least make them into a project bag so I can take it to Guild and say, see, look, I stitched something. I actually have something to show for my hours of work.
Yeah.
But it's just, it is disheartening. And it was very eye opening to go through, even when I, cause I went through, we were just throwing things in boxes, originally. And then I had to go back and resort it and get it ready for the sale. And looking at it all, I was like, oh my goodness. And what do I have in my stash? and then we received the, our guild received a whole bunch of DMC threads.
Oh.
And this is, I think, the fourth time we've offered it to the guild. We're going to offer it again in May. And then she's like, I just can't keep these in my house anymore. They have to go.
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, okay. So I'm going to take them. My church is doing a craft or doing something for Operation Christmas Child. And I'm hoping to bundle them up and put them in boxes for that. Or another gal said her daughter works at a school and they are always using the DMC or using flosses for art projects. For they do some stitching and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, we'll have to split this because that's a great thing to do. Let's do that.
Right.
So, but yeah, all that stash, you know, and you don't want it. And some of it isn't DMC thread. Some of it is JP Coates, I believe. But mm-hmm. that thread is still good. It's I've stitched with it. It's a great thread.
Right.
But it's just not made anymore. So you can't. You have to be creative when you use it. You have to make up your own, you know, choose your own colorways or whatever.
Right.
But
yeah. No, it's an issue now, and it's gonna. I am convinced it's gonna become a major issue, and a lot of very usable quality stitching materials is at some point just gonna get thrown in the trash, and that's just criminal.
Right. Right. And here's the other thing. Someone gave me. A member had helped someone clean out their old stash, a deceased member, and there were like four or five beautifully stitched cross-stitch pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay. And she goes, I don't want them. And I'm like, I'm looking at them like, well, what do I do with these? And they're beautifully stitched, but they're just those little small things. And I'm thinking, okay, now what?
Yeah.
It's almost criminal to throw those away.
Right.
And I'm like, but I'm not going to hang them on my walls.
Yeah. Yeah. But and, yeah, but to make that decision and throw them away is just hard.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually what, I'm thinking of doing a few of our members go to retreat where they do smalls exchanges.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking of saying, okay, which of you ladies want to take these, make it into a small and using it in exchange? Because to me, it would be another needleworker would appreciate that. You know, if you make it into like a needle book and say, okay, this came from one of our members' stash who's now deceased, but look, it beautifully stitched. It has a story now. It has a story and has a new life.
Yeah.
But what do you do with all of it?
I don't know, but this has me thinking, and I am going to sit down and write a set of instructions for my family so that they'll know, you know, what to do with stuff. I don't know what I'm going to tell them, though. That's the problem. You know, I just don't know what I'm going to tell them, but I need to tell them, you know, don't just throw this stuff away. And, you know, I'm sitting here looking at these beautiful wood art bowls that I've started to collect. You know, do not throw these things away. Find a use for this beautiful woodwork. You know, these scissors are, these scissors are $40 and $50 a pair. Do not just give them away. You know, make sure that they go to somebody who will appreciate them.
Right.
You know, those kinds of things, because people look at those things and, yeah, it's just scissors to them. No, these are fine instruments. Don't trash them. And right. Don't go cutting paper with them, you know?
Right, right. And we've have a, there's a couple of ladies in my guild who have told me that I get to go through their stash first when they pass. Yeah. That's on their wills. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that'll be a lot of stuff to go through.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we just have to, I don't know, you know, if people have ideas, you know, that we, I mean, I'd be willing to put together a document of here's things you can do with your stash, if people right. have ideas, because I think we need to give some guidance, because, I mean, we've talked before, and I mean, any adult our age has had a conversation that the stuff in our houses, the kids don't want, you know, the furniture has been passed down through generations, the China, where our kids don't want any of that stuff. And it's gorgeous stuff. It's quality. It's been, you know, it has history, but they don't want it. And, you know, you just, at some point, you know, my aunt was, oh, she had a collection and a half of beautiful China and jewelry, and it went to the auction house. And the guy who was the executor of the estate, he was following the rules, and he wouldn't let us take. He'd let us take a few things, but he didn't want us taking very much because it was supposed to go to the auction house. Well, it did, and it was all there at the end of the auction. And I'm sure it was. You know, well, I know for a fact that it was. Who wants this stuff? Take it. And there are several things that we would have liked to have had because they were my aunts and they have the history and so they have meaning to us, but you know, the kids don't care. They don't want any of it. And so what do you do with it? And it's, you know, and anybody who has a hobby, I don't care what the hobby is. It's, I'm sure, an issue. My dad is has been a model train hobbyist. I mean, he's what, 87 now. He's been a model train hobbyist since he was a kid, and he has never let up. And he was putting a will together several years ago, and he said to me, you know, is there anything you want? And I said, I want your trains. Now, I'm not going to set up a train layout. There's no way I'm doing that. I don't have the room, the desire, the interest, nothing. But I said I want his trains because my dad has a nice collection of brass engines. And they're brass steam engines that are molded in just some of the finest brass, you know, molds possible. Every rivet, every detail, and several of them he's had custom painted to the colors, or he's had custom painted and weathered as if they've been running for, you know, years out on the railroad. They're, you know, at one time they were extremely valuable. Now I'm sure hardly at all. I could not, you know, I want all your trains because I'm going to get rid of the run of the mill stuff, but I do not want to see those go in the trash because I appreciate what they are and most people won't. You know, and it's the same thing with needlework stash. You know, we appreciate what's there and people who are not needleworkers don't. And, oh, I hate to see it thrown away. I really do.
Oh, yeah. I know. And I know it's discouraging when it gets to that point and people not knowing what to. I know there are people that take cross-stitch, especially the charts, and they do de-stash them that way, selling them online or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's one way to get them recirculated. But I think the one thing we could do, all of us, if we would rearrange our stash so that, again, things are together. So if you have linen that goes with a chart, that it's, and you have it all kitted, that it's all together, because that just makes life so much easier. Because if not, it just becomes, you know, okay, this is a bunch of paper and
yep,
that's this fabric and
Yep.
Let's just trash it all.
So, yeah. Yeah. Yards of linen that cost, yeah. Oof.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And to them, it's just rags. Yeah. No.
Right.
No.
Right.
No. It's like that yard of linen you bought here last week. Oh man. Imagine if somebody threw that away just because, I need that cloth. Oh, don't.
No, don't do that. Well, okay. So we were talking beforehand that our guild had a lecturer come, and she was talking about Priscilla Magazine. And one of the things she talked about was that, you know, they used to get all those printed items.
Mm-hmm.
And then had cut work in it. And I thought, I started thinking about it. I got home and I said, I have something that's like that. So I went through my stash, and sure enough, and it wasn't from Priscilla Magazine. It was from another big manufacturing company. But you could tell that the linen was old. It was beautifully printed on there, but it was really, really nice linen for that white cut work that people used to do all the time,
mm-hmm.
probably in the 50s or whatever. And so I pulled that all out, and I asked, it was her sister was who arranged this lecture. And I said, do you think your sister would like these items to go with her collection? It's not exactly the same to go with her Priscilla magazine. She goes, oh, yeah, she will. So I had those things. Someone had physically given them to me, you know, 10, 15 years ago, saying, oh, you do needlework. Maybe you'd like these. And I couldn't bring it wasn't something I was going to stitch, but I couldn't bring myself to throw them away. So now I'm passing the stash to somebody else who I'm hoping, because she has this archive of information, that it'll add to her archive. And then when her family does something with that it'll contribute to that. I don't know. But it would have been a shame if, just taken it and thrown it away. Yeah, that's an old piece of linen. Who's going to stitch this? Let's just make it into a rag, or let's just toss it. Just toss it.
No.
No.
Yeah. Well, it's a problem. So, yeah, I mean, if people have ideas, send them to us. We'll accumulate them into a document, share them with people. Just what can you do? What have people done to make sure that their stash is addressed? You know, and I'm looking for things beyond. Here's the number of the president of the local guild, dumping in her garage. You know, that's not helping anybody. That's just making more. That's passing the work down the road, and then Beth gets to spend how many hours does it take to organize a giveaway thing like that? You know, that's
right.
Yeah, you spend an afternoon, but. You spent more than one afternoon just so you could do it.
Right. And I now have to go back through it again and make sure it's rearranged, see what's in there, see what didn't sell, and do something. We're going to sell it one more time in May, and then it's got to go, because it cannot live in my house.
Yeah.
It's got to go.
Yeah, and that's another thing that I would say. Is if you're going to get rid of stuff, if you're going to sell stuff, don't view it as a way to make money. Because just get a few shekels out of it and be done with it. Don't try to make a killing. Yeah, I know there's some charts out there that people kill to have and will pay a fortune for, but the vast majority of them, no. So, move them on. If somebody wants them, move them on. But let's not try to make a killing. Let's move them on.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, here's my true problem. And I wanted to talk about this because it was the crewel embroidery. I got the note from EGA saying they had the Marjorie Jones scholarship and it's for crewel embroidery, and they extended the deadline till May 1st. And you and I were not thinking one of us should have applied for that because Kathy Andrews teaches crewel embroidery. And she's teaching it up in the Twin Cities at the Region Seminar,
mm-hmm.
The Keeps Pineapple up there. And I'm sure there's other places that are teaching it. But it's such a great form of embroidery that I think people have kind of forgotten about because it uses wool, which we don't use. But if you want to learn thread painting, so it's a great, to me, it's a great step into that. If you want to learn to do like thread painting, like Trisha Burr does.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Okay. Yes, it's Trish. A good way to start right. that, Trish. Yeah. To start that, because wool is so much more forgiving than using DMC floss or silk, especially. So, but I have these, they're beautifully printed charts from the stash unload. So they're printed on linen. They've got a very pretty design on them. The colors. Okay. I think these were printed in 1976 or 79. So you can imagine what the colors are. Just imagine those colors.
Yeah. But yeah. That's easily fixed.
That's easy to fix. Or even if you didn't want to use the wool, go ahead and use DMC floss on,
right,
on some of these quilt embroidery cloth things. But EGA is offering scholarships that if you take a class at the national or regional level, they will reimburse you up into $500
right.
For that. Now you have to do a few things. You have to either create a petite project or write an article for Needle Arts, which is a big magazine, or write a report to the director of education or the AGA president. So it's not like it's basically you have to write a paper when you're done. get your scholarship. But there's got to be other regions that are offering quilt embroidery and classes that if you're interested in that technique, it would be a great way to take that class.
Yeah, that's $500. That's not chump change. That's some good chunk of money right. to do that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Right. And cause it's to provide for either your registration, your deposit, your non-refundable fee and your kit fee. So it doesn't pay for like your hotel or your transportation, but it pays for everything else.
Right.
So if you're local, so all of those people who are signed up for Kathy Andrews' class up in the Twin Cities, you should send in your scholarship application.
Yep.
Since Gary and I missed out.
Yeah. They extended the deadline for that Marjorie Jones scholarship to May 1. So still a couple of days, but yeah, take advantage of it. I mean, if they've extended the deadline, that must mean they don't have a lot of submissions or they wouldn't extend the deadline. So, jump in. Yeah.
Right. And then they have the Penny Evans Memorial Scholarship, which is for embroidery. And again, if you go to the EGA website, I think that one's due by May 1st also. And then they have the Research Fellowship Grant, which I know Natalie Dupuy
yep.
received that one. And I know you've spoken to other people who have received that one, but that one's a nice scholarship. Now that one you have to write a paper for. For sure, write an article for the Needle Arts, but that's a nice scholarship.
Yeah, cause I'm pretty sure that's the one that Natalie did, and Ornue is what she did, and then now there's three. She's done three articles in. Oh, I knew Peace I was going to forget the name of the magazine. What's the magazine?
I think it's Piecework.
Piecework, yes, three articles on Ornue, all that have come out of that scholarship. So, you look at that scholarship that gave her some funding to do some research, and now the hobby has benefited considerably with three articles, not to mention all the teaching she's done. That,
right.
And that scholarship played a role in equipping her to be a better teacher, to write these articles, and to share her knowledge. I mean, that's a good EGA investment right there.
Right. Absolutely. And so, and those are open, to anyone who wants to apply. You just need to apply for them.
Yep.
So.
Yep. EGAUSA.org. All right. So you got all these Cruel kits. What are you going to do with them? Anything?
I'm thinking about it. And what started me thinking more about them was, one of the ladies in our guild took one of the krill kits. It had two goldfinches and thistles behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, okay, I'm not doing it in this wool. I have Appleton wool. I'm going to change this out. And then she said, I'm going to change the thistles to gold work. Because the linen is heavy duty enough to support that.
Uh-huh.
And she's a very, very experienced needleworker. And it was a beautiful design. The design itself is just gorgeous. And I thought, I need to go back and look at those again and see what's there. So what made me, and then also the fact that Hazel Loom Camp is coming, even though I can't go take that class, there was a kit that was a partridge in a pear tree. And it's very, again, 1976 something. So it's that colors. But I thought, what if you went and you just took the linen and took threads and did something like Hazel does and just change the colors up and use different stitches in those little spaces? It's already printed on the linen.
Yeah.
You just add your own stitches to it.
Yep. Yeah, and use it. Somebody's done a design. Yeah, use it in colors that mean something to you and, yeah, update it. Yes.
Right. And the nice thing for me, and the reason I'm thinking more about working on these quilt pieces is I go to my mother-in-law's on Sundays, every Sunday, and we sit and visit for like 2 to 3 hours. And I need something to do with my hands. So I could take a quilt piece and just stitch on it. I don't need a chart. You know, I don't need a whole, you know, a pattern. I just need my threads and my needle and away we go.
Yeah.
It's a much more forgiving than a counted cross stitch piece where I have to count.
Yeah.
And I need better lighting or whatever. So it made me really rethink these pieces because I really don't care for the feel of wool in my hands.
Mm-hmm.
But that wool that Kathy Andrews has, now that's another story. That stuff's beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
It's a little bit thinner. It's a little thinner, isn't it, than the Appleton?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, it's awful nice. It's not your it's merino wool, but yeah, it's not your. It's Heathway Milano, but yeah, that's wool like I've not seen. Yeah,
right. And of course, the only problem is, you know, I don't have a stash of that thread in my stash. I don't have. So I'd have, if I was.
You are such a complete failure. You know, you are just so disappointing.
If I was smart, I would just use the threads I have. But the call to get more, you know, after we just talked about stashing.
Do as Kathy. I say, not as I do, please.
Yeah, Kathy, do you have a few colors that I could just change this pattern to? But. Yeah, I think it would be fun to change those. And I think that sometimes we look at these kits and like, oh, they're old, they're outdated. Why would I do this? But I think they'd be easy to change. They'd be easy to change. Just have to think a little bit out of the box.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, I think DMC would be perfect on some of these, on these kits too.
Mm-hmm.
Just use DMC, even pearl cotton.
Yep.
And change them up.
Yep. All kinds. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of ways to play. Yep.
Or silk ribbon, like we were talking.
Ooh.
With.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, this, because again, it's heavier linen. It's not like linen that we do cross stitch on. If you've never done any crewel work and you don't know what that feels like, it's a heavier duty.
It's kind cloth. Of almost a twill, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some real heft to it, yeah.
So you can really do heavy-duty stitching on it. And so even doing the gold work on it. You know, these pieces are a little big for that. I think these are too big.
Yeah.
But, you know, the silk ribbon would be perfect on here.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because two of the kits I'm looking at are wildflowers.
There you have it.
And so there, it would work beautifully, you know, and, yep. And it would be, Yeah, that's just what I need, more projects started.
Yeah, I think you do, Beth. I think you do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have anything better to do.
I'm pulling for you. Start more stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the new thing. SMS. Start more stuff. Yep.
Okay. So how's your WIPCO going?
Be quiet. Be quiet.
Okay,
I'm focused here.
You're focused. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't. I can't talk about WIPCO. No.
Okay.
I can't talk about that. First, I have to find my chart because I. Yeah. That's been a failure for me.
That's all right.
No surprise. Well, I think I've stitched 2 hours in the past 2 weeks. I have not had, I just haven't had time.
You haven't had time. Which totally is understandable.
Yeah. So, that's frustrating. It really is. It's frustrating. As I sit here in this room every day and I can't get to it. I just can't.
And to me that's, that is sad because, you did set up the room specifically for that.
Right.
And I know Cindy suggested going ahead and setting a timer.
Yep.
And doing something, but I know that's hard to do.
Yeah. No, I don't know. It's the frustration, but sometimes I think, boy, if I didn't have to do this magazine all the time, it would free up. And it would free up a ton of time. And I think I'd sit up here and stitch and watch TV and listen to music and whatever. But
watch shoot 'em up movies.
That's right. But, magazine, I enjoy doing the magazine and a couple more years and we'll retire. So, there we have it. All right. I want to know what large mistake you made on your Blue Larkspur project.
Oh,
she threw it away.
No, I haven't done that yet. Although the thought has occurred to me. I decided to go ahead and do the whole border around the piece, and I got all the way to the other side.
Okay. Back up though. Blue Larkspur. Tell me what is the project?
Blue Larkspur is by Krista West. It's an Evlia design, and it is a little tablecloth. Mm-hmm. So it's on 30 count, and I knew I should have basted lines in it, but I hate basting lines, so I didn't.
Uh-oh.
So I got all the way to the other side, and I realized I was off. And so these little motifs in this piece are not... they're not always like two stitches away from each other. Sometimes they're two, sometimes they're three, sometimes they're one, depending on where they're located.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I found the mistake all the way on the other side
of
the pattern. And and I'm just like, okay, so what do I rip? Do I rip, what half do I rip out? So I'm leaving it. I do have a friend that has... her superpower is she can find those mistakes and then she helps you figure out the best way to correct them.
Okay.
I can't leave it, even though technically my borders meet, because all the motifs, there's a bunch of these big flower motifs going in, they will not fit.
Oh.
And the sad thing is I have ripped this more than once. I've had more problems with this design than I've had in a long time with a counter-cross stitch piece. And normally I'm pretty good. I can just go with a project. But this one did something to my poor brain. So it might be... And I love it. I love it. And when I looked at it, I came across a picture of it with the mistake. And I said, I just love this design. I love this little corner. I'd love to finish it. And I'm like, I don't know if it will ever come out of...
So,
timeout.
So it's not the chart, it's Beth.
It's me, totally me. I mean, I really highly recommend on one of her big square patterns that you take the time to do some basting, even if you just do two grid lines, making sure you're, or even like a star pattern so that your corners meet. And yeah, but I didn't do that, and I should have. and I knew better. I knew better. I highly recommend. I love her designs. And so the thought is, well, if I get rid of this one, I think I've got another one in the basement that's easier. Maybe I'll just start it.
Yeah, but when you're that far, you know, if you can salvage it, you want to do it. Yeah.
Right, right. I stopped. I was trying to work like each little corner, each quarter as I went. And I found a mistake as I was doing that. And I thought, you know, you need to just stop and do this, this border, do the whole outline of this border and get that right before you add in all these other very beautiful motifs. But, oh, it's so pretty. Yeah. It's such a pretty piece, this stuff. Why didn't you? Because I put a note in, put in basting lines for those of us who are mule-headed and stubborn and don't want to do that. I'm telling all of you people. And her designs are so pretty.
Yeah.
Just
beautiful
stitch.
Yep.
Maybe I'll do one of her surface embroidery, and that should calm me down.
Then you'll feel better, yeah.
Yes, yes.
We all have one of those every now and then. It just no matter what you do, it's just not connecting with you. Yep, I know.
Right. Okay, so do you have any like that? Is there any that, you know, like in your recent memory that you've done that where you've made it's your design, you know, your mistake. You've made a mistake in it, or even there's a mistake in the pattern. What do you do?
I had two of them, and I can't remember the names, but I got rid of them.
Did you really?
Yeah. I salvaged the thread, and one was on linen, and the other was on needlepoint canvas. I just threw that away, but the other was on a linen, so I was able to pull out and save the linen. But yeah, so I just gave up because I hate this piece. I hate it because I made a mess, you know, and, same kind of thing. Like, oh, geez. Oh, there's, you know, all the way back there. Now everything's off. So yeah, I just got rid of them and did myself gave myself the mental escape of, instead of those looming, you just be done with them, move on to something else. Yeah.
Yeah. But,
no, I can imagine with that one, you have visions of how you can use it and you don't want to give up on it. Yeah.
Right. Right. And it's legacy linen. And so it's got too much stitching in it. I couldn't rip it out and use it for something else. I mean, maybe the center section of it, but it's like, it's beautiful linen to stitch.
Right.
It's just gorgeous stuff.
Well, that's why I saved the linen on that one. I'm not throwing that linen away. Needlepoint canvas, you know, whatever. But, I couldn't bring myself. No, I know what you mean. You can't, especially good linen. You just can't. Pull the threads out, wash it again, iron it, use it. It's not, it's not going to deteriorate. No, use it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Got to save that. Oh boy. That's just sickening when that happens.
I know. And that's why I'm not, sometimes I'll go back to those projects. I'll look at them and I'll say, okay, it's worth the time to do this right. Let's take it out.
Yeah.
And again, my friend might have to say, hey, you know, this is all you need to do. Again, she might say, Beth, you need to rip out half your stitching. But and here's the other problem. It was a kit. Now, Krista gives plenty of thread, but I have had to rip enough on this one that I think I'm going to have to go ahead and invest some new thread.
You're beyond the plenty of thread?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I think so.
Yeah. But see, you know, that could be. See, that's the other thing is before you give up, I think that's good advice. Get someone else to look at it. Mm-hmm. Because you're so close to it and so frustrated, they might see an easy out for you and you're off and running. Yeah, you don't know. And, yeah.
Right. And that's the thing. I know if she looks at it, she might be able to help me fix it or have a suggestion, you know. Which is always a good thing.
Her superpower. She now has a website. I fix your screw ups.
Well, some people don't like it because she can see a mistake.
Oh.
Like, let's say you frame something. Uh-huh. She sees the mistake. So she's always good to have a look at it before you get it framed.
Yes. But,
and if she finds a mistake and you don't want to fix it, that's your business. She's like, yeah, you know, you're fine with it. That's great. But I just wanted to point this out to you.
Yeah, those people need to look at it before it gets in the frame. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's too bad.
That's so sad.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, let's hope we can fix it. Yep.
I hope so.
Yep.
I hope so.
All right. We're going to call it. On that absolute downer note, we're going to call it for the week here. So.
But we get to talk to Jennifer's mom tonight.
We
and
do.
And that'll bring us, yes, and find out more about Jennifer.
Yep. Yep, we do. So,
it'll be fun.
All right, so yeah, so now another thing we learned though is Beth has a bunch of Cruel kits. She doesn't know what to do with. If you want to play with some Cruel, you know, maybe Beth can help you out. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. Just
Yep, maybe.
Let us know.
Yep. All right. You know, we're I think I've got a couple hours here now this evening. We're recording in the evening and I think I have a couple hours. I might try to get a little stitching done. That would be kind of exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Yeah. Take me a half hour just to get organized again, but, you know, whatever.
Gary, you really need to get something set up that when you have a spare moment of time that you can just grab and stitch.
Yep. I know. I just got to force the issue. Yep. I do.
The band sampler.
I know. Oh, I had a thought.
Okay.
And it, this is my traveling sampler. All right. I don't share a lot of my personal life, but okay. I'm getting a new bike. All right.
Ooh.
I'm getting in the next couple of weeks. I'm getting a new bike. I'm getting a bike that is designed for light touring because my main road bike is not built. It's a full carbon bike and it's not made for hanging bags off of and other things. I mean, it's made for going out on the road and just riding. And, so I'm getting a new bike that's an aluminum frame that has mounting points all over it. So you can hang bags because I'm going to do some light touring. I want to do some overnight trips. And my sister and I at the end of July are going to ride from St. Louis to Kansas City and back, which is 500 plus miles over the course of, I don't know, 6 or 7 days, something like that. But I want to start doing that kind of thing. And I can't do it with my road bike because it's just, well, number one, it's too expensive and it's not built to take a beating like you put in with touring. So,
right.
And then this new bike also is designed so you can ride on dirt roads and go through the wilderness. And, so I'm getting a new bike to do all that. Cause I just want to go do some different things. And here in St. Louis, I don't have to drive very far at all. And I can really do a lot of cool things. So, but then, okay, so what's that got to do with needlework? I think that's where the banding sampler, I was actually mentally putting together, how can I put together a small enough kit that can go with me on overnight trips? And,
right.
And, you know, like if I stop to take a break in the afternoon from riding all day, break it out and stitch. So I think that's where that's headed. Yeah,
that's a good idea. Or even, you know, just for, you know, when you, because you're hoteling, right? So
right.
Stop and have your evening meal, and then you can sit and stitch for a few hours and crash.
Yep.
Perfect.
I think so. So I was thinking, all right, I got to combine the two hobbies somehow, and then it occurred to me that because that's small, lightweight. It's only one thread color.
Right.
You know, it's lightweight. I can put together a little tiny pouch of stuff, so I'm not hauling a bunch of extra weight, and I think I can do it. So that's.
And what's the count on your band sampler? Is it
27?
28, 27. And are you doing it over two?
No, over one. Yeah.
So you need your, like, a reading glasses
right.
or something.
Right.
Because you're not going to take your magnifier off.
No. No, but that's what I thought. I could get like a 2X or a 3X reading glass and should be able to do it. So, because I want to get that, I want to get that finished. I really do. I like that piece. I want to get it finished and I have other banding and I'd like to start other things, but I won't let myself until that one's finished. And I just think it looks really cool. So,
It does. It does. I think that's a, I think that's just a fabulous piece and it was a fabulous idea. And because it's one thread, you're really
right.
You know, what do you need? A needle pack. I would highly recommend
right.
a needle
yeah.
pack.
Yeah.
Scissors, your glasses, some sort of frame to hold it.
Right. Yeah. Just, a little hoop and, and something to magnify. Yeah. And I think it's, I think it's a cool thing that, because, I ride all day, get to a hotel room, take a shower, now what? Because it's not like I can't haul a computer or the tablet. And, phone gets old looking at that. So, why not? And then I was thinking during the day, I'm going to stop here and have an ice cream. Maybe it's the middle of the afternoon. Maybe I'll just sit and stitch a little bit before I get back on my bike. Why not? So.
Right.
So I think so. I think we're going to give that a whirl. Mm-hmm. Yep. Got to get the bike first. Yeah. You talk about supply chain problems. Yeah. Bikes.
Can't imagine. Ugh. I can't imagine.
Ugh. Terrible. So, yep. As soon as I get that and get it equipped. Yeah. That's the plan. Yeah. Go, leave on a Friday afternoon, ride 50, 60 miles, stay overnight, ride back the next day. And, that kind of thing. And,
that's a great idea.
Yeah, or leave Friday and come back Sunday, have a two-nighter. Because, there's all kinds of opportunities, especially out here, a lot of opportunities. And interesting riding, not just riding through miles of cornfields like I had in Illinois.
that gets rather dull.
Yeah, so that's kind of that's where that one's headed, but. I really need to work on that because I really like it a lot. I love the blue. See, that's the trouble. I love that blue thread that I'm using and, I gotta do it. All right. We need to wrap this up. Tonight, join us, Jennifer's mom on the Stitch Hour. Sunday is going to be Diana Snyder teaching our youth to stitch. And that's an interesting thing. That's it. Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye.